Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus has just invited people everywhere, those in his day and those in all the ages since. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," he said. The Pharisees talked about the yoke of the law. Jesus says, "No, you need to be yoked to me." Because whereas all the Pharisees' rules could not give people the power to keep the law, God gives those who are joined with Jesus his power living within us. So now, beginning in chapter 12, this is God's word. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.' He answered, 'Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah: "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, it is virtually impossible for us today to imagine the context in which this story occurs. God's people, the Jews, were being horribly oppressed by Rome. They longed for God to bring salvation. Their religious leaders pointed them as the solution, the thing that is going to bring about redemption, the thing that's going to bring Messiah, the thing that we're all needing to do, keeping a bunch of rules. Not talking about God's rules, talking about the rules that people had made in order to try and make sure that God's rules are kept. At least that was what they said was the original intent. It's sort of human nature that if we want to avoid doing this, if we really want to avoid doing that, we may avoid doing this in order to make sure we don't do that. But pretty soon, if the rule is you don't do this because you don't want to do that, now we better put a rule over here to make sure you don't accidentally do this. And rules get added onto rules, get added onto rules, and pretty soon the focus is not about what God said. The focus is about our rules. And Jesus would point out on another occasion the fact that these rules police, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees to some extent, they were ready to break God's law, but nobody better break theirs. And so, Jesus and his disciples are walking through the grain fields. Totally legit. Obviously, the Pharisees were walking through the grain fields too, because they could see what was going on. Wasn't a question about how far they were walking or the fact that they were walking through the grain fields. But what they did, what the disciples did, doesn't say that Jesus did it because the Pharisees didn't accuse Jesus of doing it. But what the Pharisees told Jesus was, your disciples are doing what is unlawful. They are pulling the tops off of some of the pieces of grain and just rubbing them in their hand like that to separate the wheat from the chaff and then popping them in their mouth. It's like a little snack going through the field. Why were they doing it? Because they were hungry. But you see, to the Pharisees, that was farming. They were harvesting and they were preparing food. And this is not okay. It's a violation of the rules. The rules had gotten so ridiculous that you were not allowed to spit on the ground on the Sabbath. You had to spit into a container if you were going to spit. But you could not spit on the ground, and the reason is you might accidentally water a seed that was under the soil. And in doing so, you would be farming. You would be irrigating the soil. And if you did that, that's work. And you can't work on the Sabbath. They had taken the law and turned it on its head. They had completely not only failed to understand, but made it more difficult for other people to understand that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God's law is not in order to try and frustrate us. Now, God's law does show us the fact that we're lawbreakers. God's law does expose the fact that we have wicked hearts and that we need a Savior. But folks, the purpose of God's law was to bless mankind. Think about the things that God says. We're not supposed to commit murder. Some of you know what it is to lose a loved one to murder. Aren't you glad that God says that's not the way it's supposed to be? That God says that's wrong? God's law against adultery. That might frustrate some of your desires, but aren't you glad that God says families are supposed to stay together? A husband and a wife are supposed to love each other exclusively and not break each other's hearts by sinning against God and being unfaithful. God's law is for our good. Even when he says that we're to have no other gods before him and we're not to engage in idolatry, that's for our good. It's not because God is insecure and he just can't handle it if people are... No. It's because we were made for relationship with him. And if we begin to allow other things to be idols in our life, then we are missing out on what we were made for. All God's law, rightly received and followed in the power of the Spirit, is a blessing to us. And certainly that was true of the Sabbath. Everyone gets a day off, whether you are a slave or the queen. Everybody gets a day off. And it's a day of rest and worship. This is something God didn't suggest or offer. He commanded it because he knew that if he didn't command it, people would rationalize, I don't need to do that this week. This person doesn't need a day off this week. And so God said, in order to remember who he is and the fact that he created everything and sustains everything by the word of his power, take a day off. Learn to rest. Do it regularly. 6 days you're to work. 1 day you're to be off. Rest. Rest.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out.
So, all these rules, rest, does that help people care for each other and love each other and be devoted to God? Or does it become a burden? Clearly, in Jesus' day, it was a burden. And his disciples are simply getting a little bit of grain on the way to the synagogue. And when Jesus is rebuked and questioned by the Pharisees, Jesus said, oh, I'm so sorry, guys, stop it. No. Jesus answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or what about the fact that in the law, on the Sabbath, the priests at the temple are still working? They're supposed to be working. It's their job to be working on the Sabbath. But even though that is technically a violation of the rules, it is keeping the law of God. They're doing what they're assigned to do. Jesus points out two examples that are something of an embarrassment to these Pharisees. They certainly don't have a problem with what David did because they just don't think about what David did. They're focused on what these guys are doing, which is a much more minor thing, and as Jesus points out, doesn't violate his standard. Because you see, the biggest problem these guys had was they didn't recognize they were in the presence of Almighty God. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. They would know that if they knew this. I tell you, verse 6, that one greater than the temple is here. What's he talking about? He's talking about himself. The temple was a place to meet with God. They're in the presence of God out there in that grain field. Jesus is God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And they are completely oblivious to this. And instead of worshiping God incarnate, they're criticizing. They're saying, we don't like what you're doing. You're allowing your disciples to break our rules. And our rules are God's rules. And Jesus is saying, no, your rules are not God's rules. And you don't even recognize God when he's talking to you. So, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And they said, you know, there's something we've been wondering about. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That was their question, but that wasn't their reason. They said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Because they were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They're trying to catch him doing something that is unquestionably bad. Because when they are confronted with God incarnate, it builds hostility, not awe and wonder. They are not moved to worship even when he heals this man. Instead, they're moved to murder. Their hearts are filled with evil. And let me tell you something, folks. All the rules in the world can't fix the human heart. These folks went out and plotted on the Sabbath how they might commit murder. They had murder in their hearts because in our natural state, we are hostile toward God. Jesus said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls in a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he healed the man. He healed him because he came in love. The danger of legalism is that people become more concerned about following a bunch of rules than they are about people. More concerned about rules than they are about God. Legalism is a horrible, deadly thing. But the cure is not to disregard the scriptures. It's to study the scriptures, and they will point you to Jesus. If you study the scriptures, you will see Jesus. And if you trust Jesus, you'll be freed from legalism. You're not going to think that by following a bunch of rules, you can save yourself. You can't save yourself. But Jesus came to save all who trust in him. In Romans, we read a number of times, no one will be justified by following the law. Well, so I thought if I perfectly followed the law, I would be justified. Yeah, but what's the problem with that? You haven't perfectly followed the law. None of us have. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you think that you can now follow the rules and get it, you're wrong. Following the rules now won't make up for all the times you haven't followed the rules. And based on past performance, it's safe to say you're not going to perfectly follow the rules going forward either. So stop hoping in the rules and start hoping in the Redeemer. Trust in Jesus. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And that's what he says. He says, the Son of Man, verse 8, is Lord of the Sabbath. Guess what, folks? He's not only Lord of the Sabbath, he's Lord of all. God says to us through the Apostle Paul, Colossians 2, verse 6 and following, so then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and on the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Since you died, verse 20, with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So does this mean then that we can just engage in all kinds of sinful behavior and it doesn't matter because there are no rules anymore? Verse 5 of Colossians 3. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Folks, do you see that Jesus, who is Lord of all, absolutely does away with the law by fulfilling it and then calling us to walk in holiness, joined with him? When we take his yoke on us and we are walking with Jesus, he empowers us to live a life that is pleasing to him. And it's not about making sure we don't pluck any heads of grain when we're walking through a field. It's not about a bunch of man-made rules. It is about sweet fellowship with the God who loves us so much that he became one of us and took the punishment that we deserve. That is the God who they were talking to, and they wanted to kill him. And Jesus, knowing that they wanted to kill him, decided to call it all off. Is that what happened? Aware of this, verse 15, back in Matthew 12, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Jesus came to do exactly what God had said he was going to do. He brought healing. He brought deliverance. He brought hope. And he is still doing that today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.pastorwood.org.